Om Jnanatimurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Ati Svapadantikam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Is the air conditioning working? Are people comfortable in here?
Yes.
Okay, that's important. Just like yoga, you do asana to make the body sukha, happy and steady, so that the mind doesn't focus on the body. So also, even in a class, we want it to be relatively comfortable. Okay, and thank you all for coming. I really so much appreciate it. You know, I know it's not easy in New York to... Can you hear me well? It's not always easy in New York to give 9 weekends, but somehow we have a steady group of people that are coming most of the time, and I really appreciate it. Mention one of the items of devotional service, how you remember Krishna, is to serve devotees. And one of the best ways to serve a devotee is to hear. Because when you serve a devotee in that way, it also, the devotee is also engaged in devotional service. So you're not just serving him, he's able, by you serving him or her, then him or her are able to serve Krishna. So there's always a very nice relationship when there's Krishna Katha going on. And also with the class, as I go on, I'm trying to see how to present it in the best possible way. I have my own style of, wherever I lecture, of going over what I've spoken about before, because I want to make sure everybody gets that they learned something, not that I've covered the information, but that actually something went in their heart. And not just facts, but realizations. And to get realizations, you have to think deeply about something for some time. And so what I'm going to try to do today, which I'm actually going to try to keep a schedule and keep the summary within 30 minutes. And we will have a break, especially we're in this room. We will have a break at 4:15 for 15 minutes, which will also give people a chance to stretch out. And next thing here. So this is the title of the book, which Prabhupada translated as The Nectar of Devotion. Amrita means nectar, elixir, I think, in English, you know, something. Because it's the nectar of bhakti ras, which is this overwhelming love of God. If you drink it, you become immortal. Because if you drink it, it will reveal to you your true self, which is spiritual. So, and Sindhu means ocean. So Rupa Goswami wrote the book. I'm not going to go over the same things each week, but he made it like an ocean. We are studying which division of the ocean? What? Eastern. The eastern division, this side. The eastern division. And the eastern division is Samanya Bhakti. No, not Samanya Bhakti. It's a variety of devotional service. And the first wave, which we covered, was Samanya Bhakti. Welcome. Which was a general description of devotional service. And what did we cover? There was an introduction. The first six verses where the objective of the book was given. And what's the objective of the book?
Krishna.
Krishna, which means there's not many gods, there's one God. But the concept here is when God is fullest, God is in a mood of intimacy where he reveals his heart fully. Akila, Rasamrita Murti. Murti, the embodiment, Akila, complete. Akila Rasamrita of the... Krishna is also Rasamrita. He's also full of rasa, or this love, because love entails an exchange. So in the bhakti concept, the one harmonious whole, Advayam Gyan, consciousness which is non-dual, which means it's pervading everything, has a type of distinction for the purpose of love, which requires an exchange. And we discussed that concept. It's such a beautiful concept. To enjoy love, God within himself creates a separation, which is not outside of himself. So he can feel that love coming into his heart. It's so reasonable conception of divinity. Yesterday I gave a lecture in Pure Yoga West, and I asked all the people the same thing. Think of a person whom you admire, and what are the qualities in that person you admire? And it's always generosity, it's always unconditional love. So it's reasonable to accept that our perfectional state is like that. And therefore there must be an exchange. And the ultimate exchange, which was discussed in the beginning, that this bhakti ras, this kind of love, can expand to the greatest extent, which is everything, which is God, which is Krishna. So we had the introduction, then we had that the definition of devotional service. It's when entering into your heart, awakening within your heart, is this intense desire to please Krishna, which is not a limited concept. It's not inclusive of everything in one sense. It means Krishna, his different manifestations, his forms, his energies, his differentiated parts and parcels, the living entities. It's that feeling, that love of God. Therefore, it's not a sectarian concept. Prabhupada said, he who loves God, his religion is perfect. We don't look at religion as a particular faith, a particular dress. It's a particular heart where you want to love Krishna, love God, without any other desire. And that's called Uttama Bhakti. And then it was described that there were six characteristics of Uttama Bhakti. You klesha agni, you become free from the kleshas, shubhada, things become auspicious. When you have that feeling, moksha lagudakrit, it makes any other type of liberation, lagudakrit, Lagu means small. One time there was this devotee, he was a German Olympic star. I mean, he had like this archetype body. And his guru named him, he was huge, he was a friend of mine. The guru named him Lagu Hari. The small Hari, Lagu Hari. He's like, he was a very big guy, but that's affectionate. And Sudulaba, it's not difficult, it's difficult to attain because you can control God when he gives you his love. And so you have to, and to get it, you have to have love. Not just practice. You have to practice with love. And then at the highest stage, Sandrandana Visheshatma, the love becomes condensed bliss. There's like metal, you can't put anything, a pin through it. Your consciousness just becomes love. And that's called samadhi. Even in yoga, they have the two top stages are what? In Ashtanga Yoga, who can say?
Dhyana and
what?
Samadhi. The concept, yeah. And samadhi.
Dhyana and samadhi. What's the difference?
That the one is just a concentrated mind, but then the other is, it opens up to bliss.
It's pretty good, Julie.
Or something like that.
It's a very subtle difference. I read this in a book about bhakti. Beautiful, the difference. See, the second highest level of meditation is like, if you look at oil flowing, there's no space, it just flows. Your consciousness just flows to God. There's nothing else in it. So what can be higher than that? When you're so absorbed, you are not even cognizant that there's anything outside of that. You see, one, you're meditating, but you're cognizant there's something else out there. But you're not even cognizant that there's anything else out there. That's samadhi. So Sandrandana and Sri Krishna Karshani. You have that prema. You even control Krishna. You attract Krishna by that love. You control Krishna by love. Why? Because he's the supreme person. And someone who's not controlled by love is called what?
Impersonal.
They're impersonal. He's controlled by love. It's such a beautiful thing that the greatest being will not be the greatest being if he's not controlled by love. And therefore, what is Radha called? Madan Mohan Mohini. Krishna is the controller, the bewilderer of Cupid. Radharani is the bewilderer of the bewilderer of Cupid. So that ended the first wave, which is a Samanya Bhakti, a general description. And then the second wave we studied last week was sadhana bhakti, devotional service in practice. And what's the definition? You use your senses, which means your mind, your words, and your body, deliberately to remember Krishna. For the purpose of getting that love, every practice has an objective. Our objective is bhava. Our objective is that there's a deep, deep love within our hearts for God. With nothing else. So that's the purpose of, that's sadhana, how to practice that. How to practice with the senses. And there's ways to do it. How to remember Krishna, because remembering Krishna will draw out within your heart that a little anandakana, that spark of your true nature, which has been covered. As much as water becomes ice, The water is in the ice, but the liquidity is not there. The function of it is not there. The feeling of it is not there. It has another use. So, okay, yeah, come in. So, this is the practice. And what we're going to learn now is there's many, many ways to do that. And the acharya, or the teacher, devises the ways and means to focus the student somehow or other. And I think that's really the theme of the Bhakti Center. Create an environment where somehow or other, not everyone's the same. We have different bodies, different backgrounds, different levels of renunciation, different tastes. Somehow or other, to focus the mind on Krishna. And that's what the acharya, acharya in Sanskrit means the guru or the teacher. He finds the ways to do this. And then last week we discussed the eligibility of it. We can go to the next verse. And we discussed this verse, which is a beautiful verse, but maybe a little confusing. And, of course, we discussed that there's two types of ways to focus the mind on Krishna. One is by our understanding that this will invoke devotion in our heart because it's in the sacred text called the Shastra. So we understand. And because we don't... And the other way... That's called Vaidhi Bhakti. The other way is Raganuga Bhakti, that through your natural attachment and attraction. And that's mercy when that happens in the heart. And it's a gradual process. It could happen at any time that you become inspired. But generally, any practice, you have a discipline. Because if you don't have a discipline, then you'll just follow your senses and mind. And I'll give you the mudra, the body language that represents. Ah, I don't want to do it. So, no. This is the Shastra. This is what we should be doing. And we put ourselves under that. But at the same time, because we're in a path of bhakti, where, come on in. Hey, Hare Krishna. Good. Seema, how nice to see you. Please come in. You're just missing the introduction. And I'm under strict discipline. there are chairs there. You want to sit down on chairs? Please make yourself comfortable. What do you want to do? Okay, you're okay? You're comfortable? Okay, good. So now we're that's going to be discussed later, this Ragmarg. We're going to have one whole class on it the week after next. And it's very, very important to understand it because many people, in the name of spontaneity, they enter off into different practices and modes of life where they don't actually think of Krishna because they're not yet spontaneously attracted. I even wrote a whole paper on that I researched because there was a controversy on it. That's an interesting story. I'm giving coming attractions, you know. stay tuned. That's an exciting one. You'll see the room will fill up by that class, by all the sahajiyas. They'll want to hear the higher subjects. So we discussed the eligibility for Vaidhi Bhakti, and obviously it's your faith and conviction in your teacher and the teachings. It's your faith and conviction in that. And how do you get that faith and conviction? By hearing those teachings and applying them to your life and changing. But the way it starts is mercy. somehow or other, something comes into your heart by the association of a devotee, and then you want to adopt the practices to actually mature that. Somehow or other. And another thing, it will take birth in the heart. This is very interesting, and that's why I wanted to discuss this. By someone who's not too attached or too detached. Because if somehow or other someone enters a path of jnana, which the practice is vairagya, because you want to understand and separate the soul from the body, so you have to practice on that level, vairagya, vai without, ragya. You want the mudra for vairagya? No. Vairagya. So you want the vairagya, then if you practice that path and you become adept on it, then when that mercy comes, you won't be attracted to it. Because it's, I have to tell this story, I tell it many times. Prabhupada said, someone asked, and probably gave a lecture on yams and niyams, very heavy, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, so very heavy. Someone raised his hand, Swamiji, what do you do in your society for recreation? And Prabhupada said, our practice is simply recreation. Chanting, dancing, feasting. You never see a picture of Krishna in the spiritual world wearing a construction helmet and smoking a cigarette. So, but it's a fact that someone who's too detached, they'll look at it and they'll, no, that's not spiritual. Even when Lord Chaitanya, he came to Varanasi, and it's the seat of the impersonalist sannyasis who practice that vairagya. Sometimes you see them in Vrindavan, and they walk into the temple, you know, and they have that kind of dry look, you know, and it just doesn't facilitate. Nis, tad, gore, haribo, haribo, it just, they'll come in the temple, they'll look at Julie, they'll leave. So also with Lord Chaitanya, he came in, they wanted him to visit, and he was so humble, he sat where the feet were washed. And the head of the impersonalist, he came, he said, we're worried about you, because you're chanting and dancing, and, you know, he said, I'm also worried. But then he explained how he went to his guru, who told him that actually this is the best way to become absorbed. Not too attached, not too attached. So bhakti, it begins for people who don't have extreme attachment. And in that verse, in the commentary, I pulled this verse out, and I wanted to explain it so it's not having awakened faith in the narrations of my glory. So it begins with that. Being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce sense gratification, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activity. They should remain happy. So what I wanted to explain, really what this verse means, is what bhakti is about sincerity. Bhakti is about sincerity and having the right objective or goal. The objective or goal is this, something like this. Happiness is not conforming the world to my desires. Happiness is not situating myself in a position to gratify my ego. That's not happiness. Happiness is devotion. Happiness comes from the heart. That's not happiness. Well, you know that. But this is where I'm at. So what to do? Be sincere and move forward in your spiritual life under guidance, but understanding what the goal is and understanding this is not the goal. And at the same time, being very practical and realistic, knowing even though it's not the goal, you may need some to achieve the goal. Which means, again, we don't live to enjoy, we enjoy to live. So it's a very practical philosophy. Understand what will really give you happiness. Set that as an objective. Honestly see where you are and move forward sincerely. And it's not that when you advance, you don't become detached. You do. But we don't start there. So this is very, very practical. And I've had many examples where people come to me, and I don't want to say what sense gratification they came to me with, because then it'll seem like, yeah, I'm encouraging that. So I'm not going to say which it is. But, you know, in various situations in life, and not up to the standard, people come to me, and it comes in a variety of ways. But I see the people who advance don't rationalize and create their own philosophy what the goal of life is, which is pure love and dedication and service and surrender and all these things. They don't create their own philosophy. But they don't become guilty, but they remain humble. Which is it's a very healthy consciousness. It's a very healthy consciousness. But the key is sincerity. You know what you can do, you know what you can't do. You know where you're at, you know what. It's sincerity. And I actually, there was one Sanskrit scholar, he came to one conference, and he was an old friend of mine. And he spoke about this, that this is actually the key to spiritual advancement. Understanding really clearly what the objective or goal is. And moving forward sincerely. I wanted to clear that up. Matthew, does that make it a little bit more clear? Because you asked that question. What is this? Happy and disgusted and, you know, what's going on? Okay. Okay, now I'm feeling the clock ticking away. Let's go quickly now, okay? So we cover. This verse was very, very important too. Because the eligibility for bhakti. So this is what can block bhakti. If these two desires become too prominent, which is mukti, especially as your objectives, which is, mukti means liberation, but it's merging. And bhakti, material, you know, enjoyment, it becomes too prominent. It says it's a witch because you become haunted and it covers you. It covers your desires with another desire, which is not bhakti. There's a term in Sanskrit called nitya dharma. Nitya dharma means our eternal duty, our eternal nature. And our eternal nature, the thing that never changes, is we're part of God and we're meant for God's service. That's what we're trying to bring out of our hearts. And this can cover it. And that happiness of devotion. And there is no other happiness. There is no other happiness but devotion. So I and from this, becomes clear, he's going to focus on this. You remember there was a whole chapter which I said you don't have to read the whole thing, basically. Devotional service surpasses liberation. But the idea here is rejection of this to merge becomes an important component of taking to devotional service. Because if this haunts you, and also it's selfish, actually, because it's still a personal desire. I want to become one with everything. It's still a personal desire. Bhakti is, remember the definition? Anya bilashita shunyam. We don't have motive or desire in bhakti ultimately. So it's also a personal motive. I want to be liberated. I want to be free from this. I want to... And ultimately, Prabhupada said, to become greater in the material sense, bhakti. I want just to be enjoyment, or mukti. Or in the spiritual sense. To become greater in the spiritual sense. I'm one with God. And then, to demonstrate that, there was a very beautiful verse that demonstrated that by Hanuman. Right? And I got another definition which I like better. I do not desire moksha, which cuts one's connection with the world and destroys the relationship as expressed. You are the Lord and I am your servant. Hanuman said, if liberation means that, I don't want liberation. If it means merging, if it destroys the relationship, I don't want that. And then in that chapter, I'm trying to give you the context of everything. After the class, you can always read for yourself all the wonderful verses from all the great devotees who really are free from that desire for liberation. Lord Chaitanya, one of the most famous verses, said, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam Va, Jagadisha Kamaya. Mama Janmani, Janmani Eshwari, Bhavatad Bhakti, Ahuit the Key Twayi. I don't want wealth. I don't want followers. I don't want women, beautiful women. I don't want to be learned. That's not my objective. I simply want your devotional service, birth after birth. And that means I don't even want to be liberated. Birth after birth. Narayana, another one. Narayana parasarve nakutas chanya vibhyati swaga pavaga narakeshu apitu yakta darshan. One who is Narayana parayana. One who loves God deeply. He doesn't care. Swaga, the heavenly planets, Upper East Side. Swaga, pavaga. Midtown Manhattan. Swaga. Narakeshu. Avenue B. He doesn't care. He just wants to serve. The gopis will go to hell. We just want to serve. So you see how these all express that core feeling that we know is our objective. We know it's our agenda. Let's go on. I'm going to go quick with these. I made it. The body does not accept any kind of liberation. And these are liberations which mean you want to be near God, you want the power of God, you want to be in His association, you want the same form for merging. These, you can do this as a service, then it's okay. What does it mean, the same form as God? Because when in Vaikuntha, when Narayana walks, part of it, he has a nice entourage of beautiful people, so you could do that. So you can do it for service, but especially this, oneness doesn't want. Come. And the best among the single-minded devotees are those whose hearts have been stolen by Govinda. Since even the favors of Narayana or other forms of Krishna cannot steal their hearts. This is Akhila Rasa Mritavurthi. The conception of Krishna can draw out the most love. Because it's God revealing His heart to the most intimate degree. So He can draw out the love. But the other verse said,
even though from a philosophical perspective there is no difference in the essential nature of the Lord, of Vaikuntha, Narayana, and Krishna, the disposition of rasa is such that it reveals the form of Krishna to be the most excellent. We're going to discuss this later. Rupa Goswami listed 64 qualities of Krishna. And there's four that no other manifestation of God has. It's Lila Madhurya, the variety of pastimes. Because when God becomes, when God is taking the position of majesty, there's only one relationship. Prayers and you are great, that's wonderful. There's no intimacy. For Krishna, there's so many, that's called Lila Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prema Madhurya. There's so many varieties of love. And therefore so many different activities. That's why the pastimes of Krishna are so beautiful. Mukunda, he steals the butter. Rasa Lila. There's so many varieties. So it is considered sweeter, but the same. Hold on. And then we got to the point that devotion is open to all and is devoid of any other criteria. It's open to all. The path of Jnana, when you perfect it, which is Vairagya, complete celibacy, complete solitude. Generally, you have to be born in a Brahmin family and kind of have the mode of goodness right there. Bhakti is dedication. Wherever you are, whatever mode you are, dedicate yourself to God, you'll become purified. So, month of Magh, boy, I'd like to tell all my month of Magh stories, but maybe in the Trimeni, in the Kumbh Mela, no one's going to say, hey, you know, you're from New York, you can't take the Kumbh Mela. Only Brahmins. Only Brahmins. Anyone. And it's an amazing phenomenon because they make a city on the bank of the three rivers where 20 million, 40 million people. And, you know, you're looking around, India's so chaos, but when it comes to God, they're really organized. The whole place works. The Kumbh Mela, they're all so organized. And then all the millions of people bathing. Yeah, beautiful. India, wonderful. Keep on going. Purity is not a prerequisite for bhakti. So even if you make some mistake, you don't have to do atonement. I'm from a Jewish family, so I can say this, it's not anti-Semitic, there's no Yom Kippur. There's no Day of Atonement. Because it's bhakti. Bhakti is in the heart. You just have to do it. It's the purest thing. Bhakti is not dependent on anything else. Other processes are dependent on bhakti. Because every process to achieve perfection, you have to get the mercy of God. So even if you're in the path of Jnana, they always do some worship, even if they don't believe it. Because you've got to get some mercy to go. But bhakti is independent. It's universal. Anyway, you know, I was down in the restaurant before this, maybe about 1 o'clock, checking on something. And Ananta, I walked in, and Ananta's little son, you know Ananta plays Madhukam? It was something like this. All of a sudden, I see this kid running to me.
He's 1 year old, right?
What?
He's just one.
He's 1 year old. Yeah. That's
bhakti.
He didn't have to have like a super brain or, you know, he's probably not clean, he's just a little kid. Right? What is no
persons are elevated with emotions, so no atonement like that, keep on going.
Vanashram, not a prerequisite for bhakti. I'm a Brahmin, I'm this. I have so many incredible stories. It's just, how am I doing? What?
It's time.
it's time.
I'll be in charge.
Well, you did your service. I'm going to keep up with the thing. One who has forsaken his material occupations. In other words, bhakti is connected with the soul. So when you do it, you get an eternal benefit. So even if you somehow or other go ahead and then kind of go back or something, you never lose it. But if you don't achieve bhakti, this says, if you don't achieve lovakaya, then what's the use of any other perfection that you do? Any other perfection, if it does, the other things, social, etc., they're important, but to bring you to love. But if they don't bring you to love, they don't bring you to bhakti, what is their value? As Jesus Christ said, Prabhupada quoted in his commentary on this from the Bible, what profit a man get if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's the same idea expressed here. Next. Okay. We finished the summary. It's important. It's important. You don't mind I joke right now. This was your service. You have to be strict with me. Hey, thanks, Jagadar. Thanks for your help. Wonderful to have Jagadar. You should shut the door. It's okay. I have to say, what a nice example of devotees.
Right?
You know, I'm here. I live in when I'm here, I stay here. I go to the temple in the morning. I chant before the Mangalarti. He's always there at every program. And what I like this morning, last few days, Alexander Forsythe and Champa came to the class in the morning, right? And then Jai Gidhari and Shama, invited them to their room for breakfast. And it's a good example of what we said. He's fixed. What is the right thing to do? He hears, he learns. What is the right thing to do? How do we make it fixed? He has that faith. It's his faith and conviction. That if I do what's right, you get a taste for it too. Okay, now we're going to go. Rupa Goswami has listed. 15 minutes, we're going to take a break, just so I'll let you know. Rupa Goswami states that his elder brother Sanatana compiled Hari Bhakti Vilas for the guidance of the Vaishnavas. It's kind of a rule book about every ritual, everything. And what the six Goswamis did is they brought all these during the break, something you can tell them, like, we have a class, I don't know, do that and that. The dummy should be a little bit softer. you'll miss me. Oh, we'll wait till the break. I'll just plow through it. And we'll just tell them
that.
Guru Goswami states that his elder brother Sanatana has confided Harik Bhakti Vilas to the guidance of the Vaishnava to mention many rules and regulations to be followed. And he was also concerned with the culture and society at the time that looked at spiritual life very much rule-based. It's called Smarta Brahmins. And everything was rule-based. And so he, to give credibility, found as many rules that could be applied to Vaishnavism as possible. Some of them are very important and prominent, and Rupa Goswami will now mention these very prominent items for our benefit. So these are the many ways, and it's very interesting. At the end of the whole description, it says you can perform Ek Anga Bhakti. Anga means a limb. There's 64 limbs of bhakti. Or you can do Anek Anga Bhakti. Anek Anga Bhakti means with many, not one. So again, the idea we said is that bhakti, the rule is to remember Krishna. So it gives a variety of ways you can do it. But our acharyas say the most important thing is sankirtan, is chanting. It's the most absorbing. The rag, the tal, moving your heart, helping you to remain absorbed. Even if the mind wanders, it kind of it goes to the body, and it's just the body is moving for kirtan, and you go to the senses and you see devotees. Kirtan is very powerful.
Okay, let's go. So, 64 main principles. First 20, the most important. First 10 are rules. Next 10, what you do and what you don't do.
As you remember, getting back to the definition of devotional service, it was anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. Shilanam, it's activities that follow Krishna. So I have to listen. Adi, I'm giving class now. Okay, thank you. You ever really want to meet a real saint, living saint? Adi. Shut this up. He's such an incredible person. Not 1 minute in his day, but he's not serving Krishna and the devotees selflessly. And he's in the temple at the point. Stays up to midnight. It's wonderful. So I just saw that. I felt so much devotion. I answered. First 20 most rules, what we do and what we don't. These are the preliminary items. Especially the first three are the most important. And the last five are the most potent. Yes, okay? Five most potent. And they're going to be kirtan, serving the devotees, serving the devotees, hearing stories of Krishna, hearing the Shastra, worshipping the deity, and living, visiting a holy place. They're the most in Vrindavan. They're very, very potent. And there's some charming stories how it says even a neophyte means one without attachment. If he performs these items without offense and a simple, humble mood, he can achieve Baba, which is the goal. And I have examples of people with no background coming to Krishna consciousness in a simple way and having experiences. My favorite story is, I don't know how it is, but this one older Israeli man named Sholo. And he looks exactly how his name sounds. And
just imagine how my head would look.
He's the sweetest man. And somehow, I don't know, he became frustrated or something. Probably with his mother. And he was an older guy, and he thought, I can't take it anymore. And he went to India, and he wound up in Vrindavan and came into this temple. And the most beautiful deities, I know Radha Govinda, Radha Burley, you see in Vrindavan what Radha Shyam Sundar looks like and how they are dressed and the decorations. You can't even imagine what they do in festivals now. They do one water festival where they fill the whole temple courtyard with water. And they have a system where they can make designs in the water out of flowers, somehow with ropes and but the whole jai, radhe, and colors and a whole mosaic. And they spent, I don't know, thousands and thousands of dollars every festival. So he walked in and he saw the deities. And he's such a humble man with an open heart and thought, this is beautiful. And that appreciation filled his heart with such love of God that the rest of his life he dedicated. Even to this day, he's an older man. He lives in an ashram in Israel. And he's very sick. I'm very close with him. Very nice person. He loves to cook the heaviest food for the devotees. They're called called Garunga Potato. Okay. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take a break now because we're going to start some very deep subject. So strictly, we're going to start in 15 minutes, strictly. Okay, so do finish, take a break, and we're going to go over the items of devotional service, okay? And especially, these are the first, I'll just mention, the three most important, the beginning, Guru Parashraya, taking shelter of Guru, then initiation and instruction and service. So these are very, very interesting subjects. And I want to leave time to discussion too. So take a break or just sit here and relax. Okay?
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
And I really appreciate that people come. Sometimes you may have to leave, like Audrey has to leave at 5 today. But it's more important to come than think, so it's just nice. We're still getting quite a nice crowd of pretty much a full room with this. So now it's going to go the principles. So it starts with this. Okay, this is the first principle. And now remember, this is Uttama Bhakti. It's Vaidhi Bhakti. There's a verse that's going to come later in the section in Prem, and it describes how you get the Prema Bhakti. And it says, Adau, Prema is the goal. It's Prema Pumartha Mahan. It's the goal, the highest maha artam, the highest value, the highest thing is prem, or this love. So it says, adau shraddha. Adau shraddha means you got this faith, somehow this conception. And it may start like with a little just drop of that feeling of love or an appreciation for it. And then the next stage is called sadhu sangha. Sadhu Sangha means, wow, this is so good, I will be with the people that do it. And the next stage comes, it's called Bhajana Kriya. Then, it's so good, I really want to start practicing it. Wherever I'm starting, one of the things is we should only accept what is necessary at our level, at our capacity. We want to move forward. So, when we come to that level, then it says, accepting the shelter of a teacher. And there's many there. The basic principle, remember we had Krishna Anu Shilanam. How do you practice bhakti? It's activities. Anu, Krishna. They follow Krishna. They follow Krishna's desire. They follow Krishna's will. And Krishna's will is that we actually do develop this love. So how do we understand how to do it, what it is, how to practice it, and how to follow it? Well, we do it through a teacher. And that's the path of bhakti. And here, this is always a famous, a significant word, tasmat, therefore. Right? Any person who seriously desires happiness, jigyasu, he's inquisitive, he wants, uttama shreya. They both mean the topmost, the best thing. Which is, and so it can be translated. It's the best thing, happiness. But what is it? What's the best happiness? It's that love in your heart. When you want, then gurum prapadyeta, then you must seek or take shelter of a teacher. And then it gives the qualification for what the teacher is. But before that, tasmat, therefore comes after something else. So what came before this in the 11th canto is kind of a description of the futility of the goal of happiness being ego and sensual as your ultimate goal of happiness. Again, we try for our comforts and a reasonable life to be peaceful, but not as our objective, because it's not ultimately happy. It may be able to be used as a platform for something else. So, therefore, when you understand this, then you want to practice, and then you seek a guru or a teacher, and then it gives the qualification. Nishnatam, he's fixed in knowing the teachings, and he's fixed in God. He's fixed in God. There's many ways. That's one. And he's upasamasvayam, which means he is detached. he actually is fixed on that goal. He's not absorbed. He understands what the goal is, and he becomes tranquil and peaceful in that. So this is really how bhakti is practiced. And again, you look at an example like someone like Jai Giridhari. You know, he's fixed on what? What's my teacher want? Who represents what Krishna wants? That's how your mind thinks. That's what love means. It's no longer being fixed on me. So therefore, understanding this, then let's have a guru. Let's have a teacher. Another translation, this is by Prabhupada. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a teacher. And the qualification is that he realize the conclusions of the Shastra by deliberation and is able to convince others of those conclusions. Such a great personality who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, is the bona fide teacher. So this is Krishnanu Shilanam. Anu, we're following the desire of Krishna. We're following the will of Krishna. And if you meditate on a person who is spiritual, that's what they're fixed on. They're fixed on coordinating their desire with a will higher than their whims. And, you know, it's the example, the example I always give is the symphony. You know, you're part of it. So you're trying to find out what is good for the symphony. So you're trying to find out, and what is good for the symphony is good for you. What is good for the body is good for the hand. And what is good for God is good for you. So this is a deeply spiritual person. So that's the beginning. Guru Pad Ashraya. This concept of taking shelter. Right? Taking shelter. This is where I will be happy and satisfied and complete. That's what you're convinced of. In connection with God, through his lineage of teachers, that's how I will be, that's my shelter. I always think, one of my friends always asks me, when you're in anxiety, what's your shelter? Is it food? Is it the internet? You know, is it yelling at your spouse? I mean, what is your shelter in anxiety? Where do you feel, this is where I'll find relief. This is where I'll find satisfaction. Spiritual person says, Guru Pad Ashraya. I will find shelter in the service. Pada means feet. when they say the feet, it means in a humble mood of service. Guru Pad Ashraya, I will humbly serve. And just like Arjuna, the whole conclusion of the Bhagavad Gita, he surrendered to Krishna. But Krishna didn't tell him renounce the world. He told him that you should dedicate what you have to God. And you're a warrior, you should fight. So it's not like, oh, if I surrender, oh my God, I'll give up everything. You'll give up the ego. Okay? And then the next item. You can read it yourself. These are giving references. And initiation means we should make a commitment. The example that is given, the example that's that I read in an interesting, there was one scholar in Vrindavan, I shared this with Satyahari, I sent, somehow or other, he's like the greatest scholar in Vrindavan, and I had transcripts translated in English of people coming and asking him questions. So he explained initiation in a very interesting way. He said, just like in India, and you know, different traditional cultures, a girl is under the shelter of her father, and she has the attitude that I am the daughter of my father. And then when she gets married, her ego changes. And the ego becomes, I am the wife of my husband. So in the same way, when one surrenders and commitment and formalizes the commitment, the ego changes. And sometimes they say it's the beginning of the ego changing, because initiation also means the beginning. It's a process. So, and for learning things, you know, you have to have commitment. So it's a very, very deep tattva. And, you know, I probably would have to give like a separate seminar on the subject. But basically the way it works is that one, understanding that what's the goal? The goal is to get bhakti. The goal is to get devotion. And understanding that, then one wants that, and they go in their hearts and they pray for that. And what are you praying for? I want my life to be guided by truth, and I want that truth manifested. I want the teachings manifested. I know the greatest thing, and I'm saying it for myself, the greatest thing is to have connection with people of wisdom and knowledge. Because at every moment we have so many decisions to make. And this is an aphorism from one book. Our decisions determine our future of fate. What we are now is based on the decisions we made in the past. So decisions. And decisions are based not just on knowledge, but the application of knowledge to our particular circumstance. One decision is attachment, right? One decision is renunciation. It depends on the person. So generally that's the process. It begins in the heart. And then in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that teacher manifests externally. And Guru Tattva is, they say there's three truths that are very, very difficult to understand. Shiva Tattva. Because Shiva is Krishna, but not Krishna. It's, you know, it's like it's milk and yogurt. it's what? Shiva Tattva, Dham Tattva, the holy places. See, many people here have visited me in Vrindavan. And there's something special. It's kind of like in the world, but not in the world. So Dham Tattva and Guru Tattva. And ultimately, it's explained that it's actually a potency of Krishna that manifests to you through a person. It's not just a person. It's Krishna that manifests to you through the person in terms of knowledge. Sometimes what I describe, it's like getting the right glasses. There's the object, and there's your eyes, and there's something in between that helps you to see. So it's a prescription. It's a fit. And it's God's mercy. So we seek that, and we make a commitment. Next verse. One should know the Acharya as my very self, and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking an ordinary man, for he is the representative of the demigods. And it's interesting, because I've done a lot of study in various books about bhakti, and there's one book I studied, Bhakti Sundarban. I was the first person to ever study it in English. Because I knew the person who translated the book into English. And he was my friend, and I was living with him. So I would always see the manuscripts he was working on. And I read it 3-4 years before anybody saw it, and had an interesting commentary in this book that this right now is being applied to the spiritual master, but the verse in context was applied to anyone who represented God by carrying truth and knowledge. It was your parents in a proper culture. You know, it was your teacher. Because there was a culture of faith. Because in any subject, if you don't have faith in the teacher, you can't learn. Just even think learning some classical instrument, classical guitar or something. If you don't have faith that this person knows more than me, you won't make the effort to learn things that are beyond your own perception and limited frame of reference. So it was a culture of faith. And because it means authority, which, whoa. Because it means authority, and what authority does, it limits independence. But our desire for independence is why? Because we want to be free to conform and control the world for our own selfish desires. So it's natural in one sense, especially in the Western world, more and more and more to be averse to authority. But don't think it was in the Western world, because this verse, technically, it's 5,000 years. You may have various degrees, maybe some will say 2,000 years, but it's between 2 and 5,000 years ago. And here it says, don't envy him, because it's so easy to hate authority. And this is big, because this is authority on life. I'm looking at the faces. Everyone was smiling before I got to these verses. Now everyone is like, what did I get myself into? If they would have gave this verse first, I wouldn't have come to this to the rest of the class. But it's beautiful. Taking shelter is a beautiful thing. Taking shelter. Where I will be happy. And we're happy in the mood of service. We're happy in the mood of service and giving ourselves to a principle higher than our own whims. What to speak of giving ourselves to God fully, and God's representative who's carrying the will of God. So, and myself, because he is Mukunda Preshta, because he is dear. Prabhupada gave the example of the viceroy who represented the king. When the viceroy came, it wasn't the king, But the same honor and the same respect and the same relationship is there. So, that being said, most people, when they take the spiritual life and they get in, there's two types of initiation. One is you get a chance to surrender, and another one you actually do. And for most people, it's a process that they enter into. It's a process. And when they do, then you're liberated. Even if you have all your desires, even if you have all your problems, even if you have all your you're liberated. That's it. So it's not easy. I'll tell you one thing real funny is, well, you'll decide if it's funny. I should never say it's funny because if it's not, you lose. So what happened was is, maybe I can get him here one day. My godbrother, he lives in the Bhakti Center. Radhanath Swami said, give him a room. Because he did so much service for Prabhupada. A lot, you know, that Chaitanya Charitamrita, he had translated all the commentaries that Prabhupada, you know, basically just looked at. He's an incredible scholar and really a wonderful person. And he was peeking in the class last week. He doesn't come, but he was peeking in the class. And then after the class, he said, because I gave an example that, you know, everyone can, there's no prerequisite for surrendering to Krishna. Right? Anyone can do it. And I gave the analogy of a mother serving a child. She doesn't have to be learned. She, you know, it's her right. She has a relationship. We have a relationship with God. So he was listening to that, you know. So yeah, the class, I like the class. He said, so bhakti is like the mother. He said, well, who's the father? he said, is Gam the father?
Yeah.
Who's the father? But he liked the point. He said, yes, bhakti. Bhakti is no, you know, anyone can do it. He said one time Prabhupada called him in. No one's ever heard this before because he used to personally associate with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, called Pradyumna, and he said, Pradyumna, there's one thing I said that I deceived everyone. And Pradyumna said, what is that? That bhakti's easy. But it is. It is, because there's no material qualification, but it's challenging the root of our material existence, which is selfishness, which dictates that I want to be independent so I can make all the choices I want to conform the world to the way I want. So that's a little challenge. But that little kid, he did it. He did it. How difficult could it be? Okay, so those were the first three. Now we're gonna go pretty quick, I think. Following in the footsteps of the saintly persons. These are just separate references that I took from the commentaries. Following in the footsteps of saintly persons. So what it means is you're not just guru, but the great teachers. And in fact, in terms of guru, I said the way it works maybe is we're hearing from various people, we may become inspired, and then as we advance, and everyone has a different kind of timeline, how they move, we're different ways, different mercy, whatever it is, then we start wanting to take instruction. So that becomes what's called a Siksha Guru, an instructing teacher. And we can have many instructing teachers, and then one, usually it's the person who's instructing, we may formalize the commitment, but because it's Krishna, it may come in various ways. And the Siksha Guru, the instructor, may later even become more prominent, even though maybe the one who initiated by formality, he is your authority. But Guru is Krishna, so it can move in very various ways. And even there's a famous story to explain this. There was one person, he was so attached to prostitutes. And he was so attached to prostitutes, he had a meeting with a prostitute and his father died. So in India, and I've done this, where you burn the body on the bank of the river, and then the person, and I had to do this once, one student of mine died in Vrindavan, and you take some straw and you light it, and you go around three times and you light the wood and the fire goes up. He was so interested in that prostitute, he was trying to speed up the ceremony. And then what he did is it started to pour rain and the river was flooding. There was no boat, so he tried to swim across the river and he grabbed onto a log and it was a dead body. And then when he got to the house, he wanted to climb over the wall with a vine. And he pulled it down and it was a python. And then he was knocking. And when the prostitute came out, which was Chintamani, she saw him. As prostitutes were also devotees sometimes. Even in Dwarka it described that the prostitutes also came to say hello to Krishna when he came. And when she saw him and understood what he did, she said that if you had the same determination to see God that you do, to follow your desires, you know, you would achieve the ultimate perfection. And it hit so strongly in his heart that he changed his life. And then, of course, the story was, he was going to Vrindavan, and he stayed in one house, and he saw the wife of the person who was the keeper, who was a Brahmin, and he became attracted. And all this lust came, and then he asked the husband, can you give me these needles? And he poked out his eyes. And then somehow he went to Vrindavan and he became Surdas. It means blind person. And he became one of the greatest Vaishnavas. And in his work, when he gives credit to Guru, he gives credit to Chintamani, the prostitute, because God spoke through him. So it's not just a person. Of course, he didn't take initiation from the prostitute, but it's a potency of Krishna that can manifest. It's called Guru Tattva, the truth of Guru. And sometimes we'll speak to a person and something will flow through us and it'll be a drop of that. So, but also following in the footsteps of saintly persons. But this means it's not, it's also, the teachings must be there. It's not just the person. Following means not the person, but also the shastra. And in our tradition, there's a check. It checks and balances. That guru, the sadhus, the saintly persons, and the teachers, they must, and the sacred teachings must be the same. So it's like a check. Wait, it has to be according to the teachings. And because if it's not according to the teachings of Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, the original Vedas, those things that are spoken by saints representing the Vedas and their histories and the Pancharatna and all these, if it's not according to the key, it will create disturbance. If you don't really follow what the sacred teachings say, and you make up your own things, it creates disturbance. I may get back to that, but let's go. Inquiring about eternal religious principles, sadharma, the true dharma, pritcha, ask about it. So if you're serious, then you'll ask questions. What does this mean? How can I advance in spiritual life? And it's a wonderful way to remember Krishna. It's a wonderful way to remember Krishna. How are we doing in here? Is the temperature comfortable? Okay, because, you know, we have about maybe a half hour more of teachings. I want to see if you can all make it through. It seems to be a cosmically influenced fatigue time of the planets for some people. And all right, yeah, so that's so nice. One time, that's Gail there, everyone knows Gail. So once I was at my Vyas Puja, the teacher has a birthday, and I had helped bring these professional comedians to Krishna consciousness. So they would come and they would do all these incredible comedy routines at my birthday. And they were so funny. The best one is when I'm one of those, like, foot scooters. You know, people playing a husband and a wife are coming into my party to tell jokes, but then the wife breaks down and says, I'm afraid I'm going to commit offenses here, and I won't do it. And then there's an argument between the husband and the wife based on Bhagavad Gita. Well, you know, the Bhagavad Gita has all the vibhutis of the mountains. I'm the Himalayas, or the animals. I'm the, you know, like this, right? So the husband looks at the wife, and it also describes Krishna as the destroyer of all ignorance, so enemy of the this demon. So the husband looks at the wife and is so angry and says, "Oh, destroyer of rational thinking! Oh, enemy of logic!" And then the wife looks back and says, "Of the innocent, you are O.J. Simpson. Oh! Of days of the week, you're Monday." And of states, you are New Jersey. it was just, you know, a joke. So anyway, one comedy routine, they had a person who would ask, give answers, and you had to give the question. So someone said, Kishori, can you show us your sleeve? In New Jersey, there's a famous tattooist. So most of the... we're having a little fun here, but most of the... most of the people there, for some reason, they're like this. So they have... okay, that's one's enough. What?
Krishna.
I'm not objecting. Okay, I want to get to this principle, okay? Thank you, Kishori. So they ask questions. So one of the questions are, you know, devotional markings that mark the devotee as a, you know, temple of God. And they're like, what are tattoos, you know? And then you are not the body. And, what does Michael Jackson realize? But anyway. Anyway. And then 108. And the answer was, how many more? Gail is married to a very nice Catholic Italian guy, Joseph. Very wonderful man. So it's 108. It says, how many more questions would Gail ask Dhanadhar Swami before he wished she had become a Catholic? She's asked me 1,000,000,000 questions. But it is it is a principle of devotional service, not just an excuse for a good joke. Okay, next. Being prepared to give up everything material for Krishna's satisfaction, it means spiritual life means some sacrifice. Nayam lokas to lokas yakutanya. Without sacrifice, there's no advancement. Residing in a sacred place, tremendous benefit on pilgrimage. I'm inviting anyone here to come visit me in Vrindavan. It's one of my favorite savas. I have very nice people there that help me. And it's such residing in a sacred place. Accepting only what is necessary. It means two things. Don't accept more, don't accept less. And the term for renunciation in bhakti is very interesting. It's yukta vairagya, balanced detachment. It means you give up the things that you could not use in God's service. So that way we keep some things that even our attachments that maybe make us peaceful that can be used in Krishna's service so that the heart is exercised for bhakti. Where if it's just vairagya, if it's just renunciation, no, 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 then it's not good for the exercise of the heart. So you accept only what is necessary. It means don't take more. And it determines, everyone has to determine what their needs are sincerely. You want to practice bhakti, one way of practicing bhakti, don't accept more. Take what you need. And this is very beautiful what Prabhupada said. He said also, don't take more. Thank you. He said also, don't take more than you need. And he said the purport is that one should not neglect following the regulative principles, nor should one accept the rulings of devotional service that are more than one can easily perform. And I know a lot of times people come to me and they want to take some vow of chanting, etc. I almost always try to push them back. Because I don't want them to do more and then go back. And I've seen when I do this, people chant, and then some have another type of determination. People are at different levels of spiritual evolution. But I see that way a person is always coming forward enthusiastically. But don't do little either. But I see sometimes people say, yes, I will, chant 16 rounds. I will, And then it's more than they're ready for at the time. And then it kind of recedes back. So it's more healthy to always move forward. But not, you see, it's always sincerity. Now do what you can do. But don't do more. Very practical. Next. I'm going to go quickly. Can you go back one? Yes. Fasting on Ekadasi, 11 days after the new and full moon. Madhava, Titi, Bhakati, Janani, it says, these days give birth to devotion. So when you follow Ekadasi, like a mother gives birth to a child, Ekadasi, we don't take any grains or beans. The strictest standard is one only takes one meal the day before. Fast completely the next day from everything, including water. Stays up all night chanting. And then the next day only takes one meal. And if they're married, they're completely celibate during that time. But, again, the principle is to remember Krishna. For people who have exercised, they can do this. Many times I do without water and chant, increase my chanting. But if I'm working and serving, then just not taking grains. But it's a great day to increase your remembrance of Krishna. And there's some kind of special day. Also Janmashtami, the birth of Krishna, Gaur Purnima, Lord Chaitanya. But it's really good if you're ever feeling and you're in a practice of devotion and I'm feeling that I'm not really lacking some taste and things, follow Ekadasi. Eat less, chant more, and The next day you wake up, there's be something in your heart. Ekadasi, 11th day, offering respect to the banyan tree. Now, let's go to Central Park or some. What it means is there are certain things that are in society that really represent God, but more we should think also, it says, of the devotees, the cows, the teachers. And then if you're in an Indian culture, there's special trees in relationship with Krishna, but especially the cows. And there's three ways in which you can worship a cow. You can feed it grass or feed the cow. Whenever I go to travel to back to America, I go to this one place where the cows are and I give a donation. And at the time I'm traveling, I have them cook wheat cereal for the cows. To feed the cows, to massage the cows. These cows my friend has in Vrindavan. To massage the cows. And to circumambulate the cows, walk around the cows. Cows are very, very important. That old sadhu where I had the transcript that I said, he would do mauna, he would not speak, and then about 5 o'clock he would give class. And my friend used to stay, and he loved cows. And he'd be, in the evening at 11 o'clock, he was 90 years old, cooking for the cows, to love the cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahm. The cows are more dear to Krishna than even the Brahmins. Krishna is a gopa. He takes care of the cows. His planet is called Goloka, the planet of the cows. The cows are very, very special in so many ways. Many, many ways. Okay, let's go on. Giving up the company of non-devotees. What it means is sangha. Sangha means attachment and intimacy. And especially on the spiritual platform. Because obviously we have relationships and dealings in the world. But more than anything else, it means the closeness spiritually. Because there's four types of relationships that we have. We worship God. We make friends with the spiritual people. Those are not. We show them compassion. And then it says we neglect others. But it means in terms of your intimacy spiritually, really, more than anything else. And we're in the world. But at the same sense, you'll see, as you advance in spiritual life, who is your sangha will change. Your sangha are the people you'll be. You're shaking your head, isn't it? Your friends all of a sudden become people who are spiritual. It shifts a little bit in a very natural way. And it describes that even at a particular point, our advancement in life will be to the degree of our company. The more the company becomes the spiritual people, the devotees, then we'll move. And and the more it's the other, it'll put us an anchor. So this is a very important principle. Asat sang tyag, a Vaishnava cha. What is the main behavior of the devotee? It's who you associate with. And therefore, the Bhakti Center is dedicated more than anything else, and this is what Radhanath Swami really emphasized, is a community of spiritually minded people so that people will feel comfortable. I know Kadamba and Kishori Radha, my students from New Jersey. You know, they come all the way here, even though she has two children, she has four children. They come all the way here because they really like the Sangha. It's their type of people, you know. And afterwards, sometimes they go down and they meet Mangal Artik, who is an old friend. And her daughter wrote me a letter this morning. Sorry, Maharaj, please excuse me, I couldn't come to the class today. you know, I'm feeling a little sick, and next week my father is taking me someplace, so I hope to see you soon. But it's the Sangha, the association, the community. Champak, she doesn't like what I talked about, she comes from Russia, and she had a beautiful community there of people. And she was really worried, you know, because the father thought it was best for her to go to school in America, better education and things like that. And also her grandmother lives in Brighton Beach. So she was worried, but I told her, I said, no, Trump, because should I go to London? Because the father, I met him, he said, she'll go to any school in the world. I'm willing to send her any school in the world. And somehow or other, I said, no, come to New York. Come to New York. You won't be sorry because there's a bhakti center there. And in the bhakti center, you'll find your community. She had a great community there. I know some of these people. They were so, so close. But she told me today, she's so happy because she has a community. And that's how we advance in spiritual life. And shifting from other communities. And that's natural. When you develop spiritual ideals, then people who don't have them, it's hard to become close with. Although they may, if they respect you and love you and respect what you're doing, that's one thing. But if they're inimical or against, not accepting unfit disciples, constructing many temples, or reading many books. This is a very interesting principle. You see, there's two things. This is chase the roop. These are the Krishna Anushilam, the activities. And the first 10 were the activities of pravritti, what you do. And now these are the principles of nivritti, what you don't do, what you give up. These are the regulations. So this is interesting. It says not accepting actually too many disciples, constructing big temples. The real thing is ego is against bhakti. And followers, lavish festivals, I am the feeder of the Vaishnavas, let me spend millions of dollars, let me build a big temple, let me read so many books and become learned. But the principle is not for ego. Because in the commentaries, I had a very personal thing. I'll tell you how this works. So this is about 25 years ago, and someone wanted to be my disciple. I didn't have disciples. So I was thinking, nah, I don't want to do this. Nah, I don't want to do this. Because I see if people are going to respect me, then it's going to increase the desire for worship. It's called puja, the desire for distinction, which is called pratishta. I said, no, I don't want to do this. But I couldn't decide. And then I was with one friend, and he said, you shouldn't do this. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I had this, almost like a siksha guru, like a person that I admired, an older man in Vrindavan. A Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava. He was very, very learned. I said, you know, I'm going to put it before him and I'm going to ask him. Right? And whatever he says, I'll do. It won't be against Prabhupada if I do it or I don't do it. But it was heavy because if there was any attachment in me to do it, I'm putting it out of my own thing and putting it to some authority. A little scary. So I remember, and it was very interesting what he said. He said, was it approved? I said, yes. Then he thought about it, and he said, then I order you to do it. And then he said, not me, Prabhupada through me, which means that's a Vaishnav, he's representing teacher. But he said, don't think you're guru. Do it as a service to Guru. No, actually, when I went to him, I said I was in a dilemma. I said, on one side, I feel if I do this, then the desire for distinction in worship is going to increase. I don't think I'm qualified. I don't want to do this. But on the other hand, because I read the commentaries. In the commentaries, it said that a sannyasi, a monk, must do it to increase the family. Otherwise, how will the family, the sampradaya, increase? So he said, on one side, it says, I must do it. And the other side, it says not to do it. Then he said, but you do it as a service. Don't think you're guru. You do it as a service, under order. So this means be careful for things that can be appropriated by the false ego and put you in the center. As you're becoming learned, as you're getting money, as you're getting followers, be careful. Everything has to be in a mood of service. You'll become a teacher one day. Don't think you're a teacher. Don't be, here, this is the guru. The guru is not looking down. These are all my followers. He's looking up. I am the follower. That's my teacher. He's looking up. One should not neglect to offer respect to the demigods. Oh, we say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and they're different demigods. We don't hate them. They're servants of Krishna. Next. Nonviolence is also a principle. Do not cause harm, pain. The principle is not give pain to any living entity. That's a principle of Vaishnavism. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hashtani Sunichaiva Swapaki. A pandit, a person who's learned, he sees everyone equal. They're equal sparks of consciousness. They're equal sparks of consciousness. What to speak of not, you know, killing animals. Person who does not disturb or cause painful action in the mind of any living entity, who treats everyone just like a loving father does his children, whose heart is pure, certainly becomes favorable to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You want to practice bhakti, do not cause harm to other people. Also words. And sometimes words are worse than the physical thing. Because the physical thing pierces the heart, pierces the body. Words pierce the heart. So this is a principle. To remember Krishna by seeing Krishna in everyone and treating everyone with respect. The ego, the desires, we're in the center. And it was what we do. We see the world according to our desires. People are interfering. We get angry. Think, no. They're all connected to Krishna. Next. Okay. Next. One must carefully avoid the various offenses in chanting the holy name and worshiping the deity. I think I'm going to finish with this one here. They listed many, many principles, and they can become confusing. Like, don't ride a palanquin to the temple. Don't wear blue. So you have to kind of take it to another context. It's a little bit of a different culture when he collected the principles. But I'll give you how what it says is don't circumambulate in front of the deities. What it really means is the deity is Krishna, and you go in with respect. So it says don't come in a palanquin. So I picked up this one saint to come do a program at our temple, and I had a bus at that time in India, so I sent the bus. So it was the saint, and there was like 30 monks. And the bus picked him up, but he wouldn't drive the bus in front of the temple. He stopped the block down. And then I understood. He was a saintly person. For him, that was coming in like, you know, I am great. So that's what, you know, palanquin, you know, four people carrying you into the temple. You know? It's the mood, right? Don't wear blue or purple or something. It's kind of up the, you know, I don't really know what that means. You know, royalty, I am royal, I am special. Don't circumambulate. When you move around something, you put it in the center. So you don't do that to anybody in front of the temple, in front of the deities. So all the principles are based on that. And we'll discuss next time the offenses to the holy name. So this is don't commit offense. Offense, bhakti is very simple. What's difficult is avoiding offenses. Because that can ruin the bhakti. Offenses is aparadha. Apa means to distance from radha. Radha means to worship. It distances you from the worship. Be very careful about committing offenses. In America, the culture is you throw the punch. If it stops an inch before the nose, no offense. But in real culture, it's much more subtle than that. This is all to remember Krishna. Don't forget Krishna. Don't offend. Be respectful. The first offense of the holy name is to criticize people who have actually committed themselves to spiritual life. It's very dangerous entering into a spiritual society. You start working with people, you'll start criticizing them. You'll ruin your spiritual life. It's so heavy, that one thing. I've seen it many, many times. I one instance where I went into this temple, and it was a major temple, and there were teachers. There was like five or six teachers sitting on seats, and they had enmity to this senior teacher for no reason. And they started criticizing that person in the temple because they thought it was a threat to their institution or something at the time. I walked out. And then later, the deities were stolen from that temple. So I felt it. I felt it, the offense, then Krishna leaves. Aparad. So we'll... what I'm going to do now is I really like to keep on time. I did really good. It was good that I actually stopped, you know, the introduction. I'm famous. Yesterday, I had an introduction, and I introduced the introduction. It was really... Okay. So, same thing. What I'd like you to do is just get out a pencil and paper. And I'd like you to do free writing. What struck you the most about the class? What you remember? You don't have to read the book. It gets you mental. And then you remember nothing. Just move the pen and start writing. And if you don't remember anything, you say, I don't know. But as you know, once the pen moves, then all your thoughts start to come. So start now. We'll do that for 5 minutes. And then we'll discuss for 5 minutes, and then we'll end on time, and I will collapse. Okay, start writing. Just keep it moving. Keep the pen moving, okay? Okay, now we have 5 minutes. Turn to your neighbor. Say, Bell. Carissa, find someone maybe up here. Groups of two, ideally.
Okay. No, I went around and I was so pleased because every single person I spoke to really was able to conceptualize and express a point that was made in the class. You know, sometimes when they teach this, and it's also nice, they give people... There's other things, like if you live in India and then you study the course every day, just once a week, so you can forget. So I want to make sure things go deeper. But, you know, something to make memorizing lists and things like that. But I saw that actually people picked out points that were actually relevant to their own lives, you know, and discussed them. And, you know, I have a good sense that the class is going well, so I'm quite happy. And thank you again. You know, we're getting every week about 35 people out of 50 that were registered, and different people. So Bryn's not here today. I guess it's tomorrow, if anybody's interested, we have a... We're doing it quarterly at Yoga Maya. We're having a... we call it Sadhu Sunday. And we'll have a really good kirtan. I'm bringing some really beautiful kirtaniers. I'll speak some relevant points. And then we're going to have like a feast. It's kind of a traditional program. So if anybody wants to go, you can go. They do charge something. Mm-hmm. If it's a problem for you, just come see me now and we'll, you know, cut a deal or something. It goes there. I never do things, you know, but for the studio and the space. But they're going to serve a nice prasadam too. So if I know, if anybody wants to go, I can tell them and then we'll even cook more. But you can come anyways. There's always another prasadam. Okay, I know many of the people here actually are going too, so let me know. Okay, it was wonderful. Next week, chapters 10 to 14, I'll write where I think the emphasis should be. We didn't finish everything today, but I think next week will be because we're going to just discuss all the rest of the items, practically. Okay?
Thank you.